محمد وآل محمد صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد. Let's try that again. بر محمد وآل محمد صلوات. اللهم صل على. أحسنت. Today, Sunday, the 29th of November, 2015, is the eve of the 17th of Safar, 1437. We're going to start with the recitation of the Holy Quran by Brother Muhammad Ramtullah. Please welcome with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكروا إذ جعلكم خلفاء من بعد عاد وبوأكم في الأرض تتخذون من سهولها قصورا وتنحتون الجبال بيوتا فاذكروا آلاء الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه للذين استضعفوا لمن آمن منهم أتعلمون أن صالحا مرسل من ربه قالوا إنا بما أرسل به مؤمنون قال الذين استكبروا إنا بالذي آمنتم به كافرون فعقروا الناقة وعتوا عن أمر ربهم وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من المرسلين فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين فتولى عنهم وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين ولوطا إذ قال لقومه أتأتون الفاحشة ما سبقكم بها من أحد من العالمين إنكم لتأتون الرجال شهوة من دون النساء بل أنتم قوم مسرفون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Sent. Martha will be recited by Brother Ali Hassan Jagani. Please welcome with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Juju bazar karibaya. جون جو بازار قریب آیا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا جون جو بازار قریب آیا جون جو بازار قریب آیا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا ہاتھوں سے یا پھر بالوں سے چہرے کو چھپا لے شہزادی یہ شام شہر کی گلیاں ہیں دل سام لے اے آقا آزادی فضا نے جب یہ بتلایا فضا نے جب یہ بتلایا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، فضا کی صدا کو سنتے ہی شبیر کی خواہر کانپ گئی، بالوں سے چھپا کے چہرے کو نیکے پہ جھکی زہرا جائی، بازار کے نام نے تر پایا ہائے زینب، بازار کے نام نے تر پایا ہائے زینب، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، کرتی تھی دعائیں رو رو کر اس حال میں نا بائی دیکھے، اٹھی جو نگاہ ہے زینب کی کھوٹوں پہ تماشائی دیکھے، کچھ سوچ کے دل یہ گھبرایا، کچھ سوچ کے دل یہ گھبرایا، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، ماحول شرابی جب دیکھا بابا کی وصیت یاد آئی، کوئی تو مجھے چادر لا دے ہوٹوں پہ یہی فریاد آئی، جب کوئی نہیں چادر لایا، جب کوئی نہیں چادر لایا، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، پھر شام کے لوگوں نے بدلا اجداد کا یوں زینب سے لیا، چادر چھینی پتھر مارے اور گھر میں کبھی پانی پھینکا، دراج سکینہ نے کھایا ہائے زینب، دراج سکینہ نے کھایا ہائے زینب، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، عباس کہا ہے اے زینب جب شمر حکارت سے بولا، گش کھانے لگے سب اہل حرم کلثوم پکاری واویلا، سجاد کو یثرب یاد آیا ہائے زینب، سجاد کو یثرب یاد آیا ہائے زینب، زینب کو غازی یاد آیا، جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا، جوجو بازار قریب آیا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا خاموش رہی اولاد نبی کربل سے یہاں تک ظلم سہا خولی منا دی کرن لگا یہ کنبا ہے ایک باغی کا مظلوم کو باغی کہلایا مظلوم کو باغی کہلایا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا جوں جوں بازار قریب آیا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا زینب کو غازی یاد آیا
صلوات علی محمد و آل محمد.
احسنت Sense. We'll now have a poem by Brother Ali Reza Daya. Please welcome with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This poem I have is entitled Journey to Paradise, and it's about the walk from Najaf to Karbala during the period of Arba'een. I pray to Allah that if anyone hasn't been given the chance to go, that inshallah in the near future we are given the chance to do so. Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. These parting words as you take his blessed leave, as you prepare to embark on this holy mission, you request for the Father's permission to visit his son, the savior of our religion. As you set out on your journey from Najaf to Karbala, it is always painful to leave the shrine of Ali. No place on earth has that serenity, but then every footstep your mind anticipates, Zainab and Sajjad's struggles you're about to emulate, to this walk to Hussein millions participate. And your excitement begins to grow. By walking, your allegiance to Hussein you show. You let the enemies know that you're Husseini from head to toe. And no, we will never forget Hussein. As you start your voyage, you begin to observe the extent to which the locals yearn to serve. Tell me a place where your eyes have seen 20 million people all fed for free. The generosity of the locals humbles you to the core. For you, the Zuwar, they give your wealth and more. For you, the Zuwar, they give their wealth and more. Bread they will bake, chai they will pour. And our minds cast back to our life in the West. Our minds cast back to the life in the West. Luxuries are plenty, our facilities the best. Our problems so trivial, yet we complain. But then you see an orphan who only knows of pain, but her hopes kept alive through her love of Hussein. And this is the beauty of the walk to Karbala. This is the beauty of the walk to Karbala. You look to your right and see a little toddler, and then to your left and see someone decades older. Every age, group, gender, nation comes together. The CEO walks in unison with the beggar, rich or poor, from near or afar. Everyone is here for Aba Abdullah. Your walk to Karbala will be physically straining. Your walk to Karbala will be physically straining. Your muscles will tire, your feet will be aching. At times you may want to quit and just stop walking, but don't listen to these feelings, it's just shaitan talking. For every step is blessed by Allah. Every single step is blessed by Allah, each step equivalent to 100 Hajj and Umrah. So when you feel the sun bear down on you, before you complain, remember Sajjad and his sharpened chains. When your limbs begin to ache, remember Hussein's sister. As you continue to walk, your feet may have blisters, but at least you won't be dealing with the whips of Shimmer. As you continue to walk, your brother will be by your side. You won't be remembering the moment he died.
Sisters, as you continue to walk, your hijab will be intact. There won't be a threat that your veil will be snatched. The moment you're thirsty, you'll have access to water. Remember the thirst of Imam Hussein's daughter. When your limbs tire, on your brother you can lean. Remember Abbas, son of Umm al-Baneen. And at the end of the day, you'll have the whole night to rest. Remember Sakina's face when someone else was on Hussein's chest. For when you complete this walk to Sayyid al-Shuhada and step foot in the premises of Hussein and his brother, you'll look up from your slump and such a sight will appear. Awestruck and in shock, any pain will disappear as you're overwhelmed on seeing Abbas's golden dome. At that very moment, Karbala becomes your home. You begin to realize why this is heaven on earth. You understand why Karbala to miracles gives birth. A look at the holy dome, you see a fraction of Hussein's worth. Some people cry, others faint. Some people cry, others faint in disbelief that they've been invited to visit this saint. But as the tears begin to drop, it becomes reality. You're in Karbala, Jannah's capital city. Utterly humbled, you walk to Bayn al-Haramain. Utterly humbled, you walk to Bayn al-Haramain. On one side, Abbas. On the other, Imam Hussein. On one side, Abbas. On the other, Imam Hussein. Salawat.
Could we have another loud salawat before that Ali Raza? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Just a few announcements. The ladies' morning majlis will commence at 9:30 a.m. with Quran. The majlis will be by Zakira Fatima by Asaria. Tomorrow the main evening program will start at 7:45 p.m. with Maghrib Ain Salah. The Urdu lecture will be by Sheikh Safdar Rizvi, and here in the ELC it will be by Sheikh Noor Muhammad. British Sign Language classes run in the annex during the normal program time. All deaf, hard of hearing, and special needs Azadar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam are warmly welcome. Please come to the ground floor of the annex. Darul Quran is pleased to announce two new beginners Quran recitation classes for boys and girls aged 5 to 7 years from January 2016. Further details are on the website. Daily Zohrain Salat is recited at our center on weekdays at 12 p.m. Membership subscriptions and SMS subscriptions for 1437 are now due. Please either pay online or at the Jamaat desk. A census form for the KSIMC of London is online on hujjat.org. All of those over 18, male and female, member or non-member, are requested to fill it out, please. Please note there will be no boys' annex on Monday or Tuesday this week. There's a request to recite a Surah Fatiha for Shafia Mariz for a young girl aged 3 who has leukemia, Brother Hussein Laka, Brother Salim Banatwala of Muscat, Brother Mahbub Fazal, a mu'mina who is very ill, and all those who are ill. Al-Fatiha. Before I invite Sheikh, it would just be easy if everyone just shuffles a bit more forward so that the latecomers can go straight to the back. And whilst you do that, can I welcome Sheikh Noor Muhammad with a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار وإن منها لما يشقق منه الماء وإن منها لما يحبط من خشية الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم صلى على محمد وآل محمد ما صلى على محمد وآل For the love of Abba Abdullah al-Husayn, with the loudest of our voices, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, arwahuna lahu al-fida, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Azzam Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره مع إمام المنصور المؤيد. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this moment and this opportunity in this night of the holy month of Safar to continue to acquire the understanding of our faith, our religion from the institution established by our beloved master and savior Abba Abdullah al-Husayn and his beloved companions and Ahlul Bayt in the land of Karbala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. If brothers and sisters will recall very well, last night we dwell on the importance of being an ambitious personality or ambitious person. And there was part of the lecture which I focused more on our responsibilities as individuals, as insan, as members of our communities. And I mentioned that we have social responsibilities which we have to undertake in our lives. Because if you neglect that social aspect of your life, then you will remain alone and loneliness can kill and can cause depression. And we also discussed on spiritual responsibilities. That yes, we do have social responsibilities, but we cannot forget our spiritual divine responsibility. Meaning, I need to look after my soul. I need to look after myself. I need to be able to establish a very strong and powerful relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned that in addition to these two responsibilities, you also have your physical responsibilities. Hence, I have to go to work and earn money. I have to have the best of the car. I have to have the best of the house. This is something which is required in our lives. And the last but not least, we look at the intellectual responsibility whereby we sensitize one another on the importance of knowledge acquisition. That you cannot enjoy the life of this world properly in accordance to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt without knowledge. We need to acquire knowledge. We cannot afford to follow blindly. As Rasulullah made it very clear, وَلَا يَهِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يَفَعَلَ فِعْلًا حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. You as my lovers and followers, this is the saying of Rasulullah, you are not allowed to do anything until and unless you know what you are doing. Meaning, avoid blind following, because blind following is killing. It's inhibiting our intellect. Hence, we sensitize one another on the importance of knowledge acquisition. Even if you have graduated from madrasa, grade 13, whatever, grade 14, grade 12, that is not enough. Al-ilmu min al-mahdi ila al-lahad. Strive as much as you can to acquire the understanding of this faith, because when you are well versed with the knowledge and the ma'arifa of Ahl al-Bayt, you will be independent in this world. You will be a free thinker, and in return, you will attain the shafa of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad on the day of Qiyamah. Salli ala Muhammadin. So from where we left off, tonight our topic for discussion will be diseases of the heart and ways of curing them. Because it is so important to understand the teachings of Islam into details. And I realize that these diseases of the heart are things that are doing more harm to us, that are taking us away from Ahl al-Bayt, although we claim to love them, that are taking us away from the teachings of Rasulullah, that are taking us away from proper social interaction, that are taking us away from proper family relationship. Hence, it's so important to discuss this tonight, as when you go back to Karbala, you realize that our beloved Master Abu Abdullah taught us about our souls and about our hearts. And entering into tonight's discussion, I want you to remember what I mentioned last night, that when you look at yourself as insan, you have your soul, you have your nafs, you have your body, and you have your intellect, if you remember very well. Now your soul needs food, it needs provision. Your body needs food, it needs provision. Your nafs need food, it needs provision. And of course, the soul. Now, when you look at your body, as we mentioned earlier on, the food for the body is very simple food. After program, we'll all have cups of tea. When you go home, or maybe before coming here, you had your meal. This is the food that our body requires. Our body doesn't require any other thing. That is the food it requires. That is why Islam regards working and earning lawful living. It is ibadah, and it is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the world of spirituality, whatever they do, they link it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, even the work I do, the money I earn, the food I eat, I only eat the food to gain strength for me to be able to stand and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is number one. So we have the body, and body requires something. Number two, we have the intellect, which I mentioned. And it requires its food also, and that is knowledge. So go out, go and acquire knowledge. Learn about our beloved imams. Learn about their biographies. Understand how imam used to live their life. Alhamdulillah, you are trying, but let's keep on doing that until the last day of our life in this world. The third one is ruh. But here is a very important discussion in Islam. Sometimes you have to say ruh, and then some they say nafs. But to make it very simple and easier for all of us to be able to grasp, ruh is something, if it is with you, you survive in this world. If it's not there, you depart from this world completely. Just understand that and leave it there. But the nafs is the most important. And because of that, we want to have the discussion of tonight. When you go to Quran, whenever Allah refers to insan, he uses nafs. And therefore, you find in the famous verse, "Wa nafsin wama sawaha, fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha, kad aflaha man zakkaha wa kad khaba man dassaha." What is the role of the nafs? The role of the nafs is a very sophisticated. Nafs play a very complicated roles in our lives. Let him demonstrate for you practically. Akal analyze. Your akal tells you tonight there is a majlis at the mosque. So akal will tell you there is a majlis. And in majlis is very good. But if you don't go to Majlis, you stay home, fine. But going there is good. But Akil will not tell you go or not go. The role of our intellect, when you acquire the knowledge, it only analyzes it and leaves you there. What decide in your life is your nafs. Nafs is a very important department in our lives. All problems the world is faced today, or the problem I may have with you, you may have with me, or you may have with any other person, it's not the akal. Akal already analyzes, it tells you it's bad or good. It's not the body. Body is fed properly. You are satisfied. That's why you're sitting here listening to me. But the nafs is what will tell you, do it this way or do it that way. And sometimes nafs can mislead you. Hence Quran said, wa nafsin wa ma sawaha. And the nafs and the proportions given to it. Fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwa. Nafs can take you to this side, and nafs can take you to the other side. So therefore, we need to really work on our nafs. And the food for nafs is not the biryani we eat. It's not the kichro. The food for nafs is not that. The food for nafs is not the posh cars we have. It's not the clothes I'm wearing. Although, as I mentioned, they are all ibadah. The food for nafs is not the glass of water that I'm taking. No. The food for the soul and nafs is dhikrullahi ta'ala. The food for the nafs is Quran. The food for the nafs is Ma'tam al-Husayn. The food for the nafs is the tears you shed for Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. The food for the nafs is the majlis that you come. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we have a very beautiful riwayah from our beloved Chief Imam. He said on the day of Qiyamah, the amount of majalis that people enter will come and save them from the fire of hell on the day of Qiyamah. Then our beloved Imam said, hence I urge you, go to Hussein even if it is difficult for you. Because you going to the Hussein, as our brother just recited a very touchy and beautiful poem, go there, because each and every step you undertake heading towards Hussein or heading towards the majalis of Hussein, it creates for you a stage of Jannah in the eye of Allah. So nafs is so important. Nafs requires this food. You don't give any food to your nafs, but Allah and Ahl Bayt al-Asma wa Tahara. Hence the verse we've chosen for tonight discourse is a very known verse. I quoted this verse in the previous discourses. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 74. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, ثُمَّ كَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. Allah said, "Qasat kulubukum," your souls and heart are so hard and rusted. Then Allah said, "Ashaddu kaswa," it rusted in the most worst way. Then Allah said, "It is even harder than the stone." You pump it with the name of Allah, it doesn't enter, it doesn't penetrate. Whatever is said to him, it doesn't enter, it doesn't penetrate. Allah is talking about. Now, brothers and sisters, understand that this nafs is something you need to watch out to it. You need to nurse it. You need to nurture it. You need to look after your nafs. Once you are able to look after your nafs and you provide your nafs with what it requires, you will have a dunya hasana and you will have a akhira hasana. And if you have the two hasana, then waqina adhab an-nar. Our examination will be of two stages. The first stage, we will look at the causes of these diseases. And second stage, we will prescribe a very practical solution to this problem. Medication to this problem. Number one, like the way we get affected in our bodies. Today you find some people, they are sick. Unfortunately, some are examined with a very incurable sicknesses and diseases. When one is affected with a sickness, the next thing to do is to seek medical attention. The same thing applies to the diseases of the soul and nafs. When your soul is affected, what you need to do is to seek for medication. But But I realize Muslims, mu'mineen, lovers and followers of Ahl al-Bayt, when you have problems with our nafs, nobody bothers to seek for medication from the school of Ahl al-Bayt. You need medication. You need a hospital. You need prescriptions for you to be able to overcome the disease. What are the signs of having diseases of the heart? The first sign, al-insan la yatalazzaz bil-ibadah. One does not enjoy ibadah. You know, ibadah is there for you to enjoy. Ibadah is there for you when you begin, you become more interested in it. But the moment you find yourself, you know, it is happening. This is not normal. That I go for dua, or I go for Quran khani, then I don't enjoy. When they recite, I realize I'm not involved. My heart is not there. It's not normal. It's a sign that you have a disease of the heart. It's not normal. Completely, it's not normal. And I will give you a lot of references from Mawlai Kainat. So number one sign is that I do not enjoy ibadah. Even when I have to go for salah, salah is like a heavy load on my shoulder. Haven't you hear people many times, the moment they finish salah, they say, hey, I feel relieved, man. Many people, they make salah, they say, eh, it's like something on my chest now. Yani, it's, na'uzubillah, it's like salat is fitna and bala, which is hovering you on your shoulder and you want to get rid of it. So the first sign is that if you see yourself in any given situation, back home or at the mosque or here in Imam Bara, during the course of ibadah, during the course of amal, during the course of the recitation of Quran, during the course of the recitation of ma'tam, during the course of the recitation of marthiya, and you are not engaged with it, then there is a problem with your heart. That is number one. Number two sign, which Quran mentioned, that when the name of Allah is being mentioned, or the name of Ahlul Bayt is being mentioned, to such an extent those names are explained, or those verses are explained, and you find nothing in your heart, then there is something wrong. Then there is something wrong. It means I have a problem in my heart. I have a problem in my soul. And I need to seek for medical attention. Of course, spiritual medical attention now. Number three sign. When Azan is being recited, you find many people are busy talking. Rasulullah said, people who talk during Azan will be denied my Shafa on the day of Qiyamah. It's a sign that I have a problem. My spirituality, I'm struggling with it. Azan is being recited. Allah is inviting you. You imagine when a friend invites you for a dinner or something. How do you do? You comport yourself. You dress properly. You attend it. What if we say Allahu Akbar and nobody cares about it? It is a sign that I have a problem in my heart. The last sign is that I ignore any calling of Allah. I don't bother about it completely. Whenever I am called for something spiritual, either at someone's house or in the mosque, and I do not make an attempt to respond to that calling, then there is a problem. Now, what are the causes? Let us look at the causes. These are the most important part. Once one is affected with the sickness of the heart, the heart becomes very hard. It becomes very hard. You cannot penetrate it. And once the heart becomes very hard, then you don't see the light of worship. The first cause of that is istighfaf al-ma'siyah, undermining sins. I listen to music, it's not a big deal. Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now many people, they talk like that. a sister, no hijab. You advise my mom, try, represent Sayyida Zainab. In the court of Yazid, Sayyida Zainab protected face veil. Read the khutbah of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. She said, do you have the audacity to remove our veil? Veil, face veil, is a top hijab for Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. They were not used to people looking at their faces. So when my daughter or my mom or my auntie or my sister is not wearing her hijab properly, said, okay, you don't understand, fine. But at least you know Zainab and you love Zainab. Wear it for the sake of Zainab. So it's not a big deal. It's a problem. It hardens the hearts. And it affects the hearts. The words of God do not penetrate. Undermining sin. You find people very easy, they are backbiting. And as if it's normal. There are some places backbiting is the game of the day. People will come together and they will start talking against some people. But they find it very normal. So undermining sin causes the diseases of the hearts. One sin is that, look, I don't care about salah. I hardly make my namaz. I cannot remember the last time I prayed the whole daily namaz 5 times. And I feel nothing. It's not a big deal. It's not a problem. Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. This is how we justify it. It's a problem. This is the reason why when we come to the mosque and pray, even if salat is 10 minutes, we tend to find it very long. Rasulullah said, "Ashaddu dhunub mastahana bihi sahibu." The worst form of a sin is a sin that the one who commits it undermines it. Once you undermine a sin, then it becomes a problem. It causes the disease of the heart. Your heart will not see the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a very beautiful riwayah from our beloved Rasul again, where he mentioned that if you want to know who is a mu'min and who is a munafiq, you look at them from the way they approach sins. Rasulullah said, munafiq is the one, when he commits a sin, he will behave towards the sin as if it's a fly on his nose. And he did like this, and the fly goes away. But he said, mu'min, when he commit one sin, it's like Jabal Abu Kubais on his chest. That's a sign of being a mu'min. Don't undermine sins. It destroys. You don't see the light of worship. It takes you away from Allah. It takes you away from the Shafa of Ali Muhammad. Somebody came to our Sifi Imam and he said, ya Imam, I want your Shafa on the day of Qiyamah. Sifi Imam, in Madinatul Munawwara. Imam said, you want our Shafa? He said, yes. Then Imam said, I leave you with one statement. La yanalu shafa'atana man istakhaffa bis-salah. He will not get our Shafa who undermines Salah. You undermine your son, you are here. Ahlul Bayt are there. They will be far from you completely. Imam Amir was the shaheed of Mihrab Salah. Aba Abdullah in Karbala went into Sajida. Ali ibn al-Akbar recited the Azan. When the Azan is mentioned on the 10th day of Muharram, we all cry. Do we implement it or not? Sayyida Zainab in that difficult night made Salah. So therefore, Imam said, you want my Shafa? Don't undermine Salah. So number one factor or cause of the disease of the heart is that once one undermines sin, then your heart will be hard and it will be harder than a rock. Don't undermine sins. The way you work for your dunya, work for your akhirah. As these scholars mentioned, if you look at the amount of hours you give to your livelihood, which is normally practical, Don't even give quarter of it. Give less than quarter of it for Allah. You will find Allah in full. I go home 6 o'clock in the morning. I go out home for work. I come back 8 p.m. They said, just give not even quarter of that to Allah. You will find Allah in full. Hence, Rasulullah said, how many people go out looking for dunya and they come back empty-handed? But when you go looking for Allah, even one step sincerely, it is enough for you to find Allah. So number one, undermining sense. Don't undermine. Take every sin very seriously. When you commit a sin, think of it as if after that you're going to die and leave this world. Hence, you recite dua kumail every day asking Allah to forgive us. That is number one. Number two, cause of the disease of the heart is accumulating sins without asking for forgiveness. Keep on. You know, there are people at the same time that is listening to music, is having a lawful relationship on internet. And is watching to something which is haram. At the same time, the more you accumulate, the more it destroys the heart and the soul, brothers and sisters. It's not a surprise that, you know, we not worry about really Quran. But when you are told Imam Ali is a walking Quran, everybody get excited. But what is the meaning of Imam Ali being walking Quran? Walking Quran means what? He implemented Quran. Quran manifested in his life to such an extent when he walk, you see Quran in him. Are we like that? Do we deserve to call ourselves Shia? When Rasulullah said to Salman, Salman minna ahl al-bayt, is it not a small maqam? It's a very big and profound maqam. So number two, don't do so many sins. When you realize it's a sin, ask for forgiveness of Allah and don't go back to it again. Because when you go back again, it will harden your heart and you are finished. And scholars said there are some people, they stink spiritually. You know, Yaqub alayhi salam, when the brothers of Yusuf were coming back, he could smell the clothes of Yusuf. The same thing, people of God, when sinners are coming to them, they could smell. Hence, Imam Jafar, in a very beautiful tradition, mentioned, when a person commits a sin, kharaja fi kalbihi nuqtatun sawda. Once you commit a sin, and you are unable to ask for forgiveness, black spot appears in your heart. And if no forgiveness and tawbah, that black spot will spread all over the hearts. And if it is spread, Imam said, then it will create a piece of the fire of Jahannam in the hearts. Once it creates it, you will be in the mosque. You will recite Marsiya. You will recite Noha. You will recite Majlis. You will not see the light of Allah. Quran, what does he say? Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Allah said what they've been doing, and it seems that they've been accumulating. Rana ala rain. It has put some rust in the hearts. And this rust has blocked them completely. They cannot see the light anymore. So therefore, the second sin, brothers and sisters, is that we should always rush and haste in asking for forgiveness of Allah. Because one of the conditions of asking for forgiveness is that I will not go back to the sin again. Hence, Imam Amir made it very clear. If you want to ask forgiveness of Allah, there are certain requirements that are needed. Number one, you regret for what you've done. Number two, you pledge you will not go back to it again. Number three, the wajibat that you have missed, make a plan to start paying them back. Number four, hukukun nas, you've eaten his money, he has eaten your money. Pay it back or make a plan to pay it back again. Then the next one, which is the most important one, is that from now onwards, my wajibat is going to be properly. Then Imam Ali said, after that, you just say one astaghfirullah, you will find Allah most forgiving, most merciful. But you know, some of us, we say, no, we'll get the shifa of Ahlul Bayt on the day of Qiyamah. Even I commit sin, I will get shifa of Ahlul Bayt. That is dangerous trend. As Ayatollah Hakim used to say, all those who hide behind Ahlul Bayt to commit sin by not asking for forgiveness, that sin will block them from the shafa and the intercession of Ahlul Bayt on the day of Qiyamah. Number three sin, or cause of the hardness of the heart, majalisul mauta, associating with dead people. Or dead gathering. What is dead people and dead gathering? Not those who have gone to Barzah. Rasulullah said, "Kullu muqtarifun mayyit." Every muqtarif. What is muqtarif? Someone, when you are with him, you can spend the whole day. He will not remind you it's salat time. But he can talk of anything of this dunya. But he will not remind, let's go to majlis. You know, majlis of Abba Abdullah. Let's go. He will not remind you. Instead, he will come to the mosque, they will hang around, they will go back home. You tell him, this, it's boring. It's boring. Let's go to the mosque. No, Sheikh is taking long in the mosque. Yani, if you associate with that type of a people, then you have to be careful. Because these are the people that are called Mauta. They are dead in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to associate with those people who will constantly remind you of your duties and responsibilities within the region of Islam. Hence, in dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, I urge you to start going into these duas of Ahlul Bayt. أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ رَأَيْتَنِي أَلْفُ مَجَالِسِ الْبَطَّالِينَ فَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ خَلَّيْتَنِي Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He said, Ya Allah, maybe you see me, Zain al-Abidin, in a gathering of those whose hearts are dead. And maybe because of that, you block me from the mercy, Zain al-Abidin. Imam is ma'soom. So therefore, majalis al-mauta is a very dangerous majalis. Today, what is destroying us is the people that we associate with. We do not advise one another about taqwa, about the fear of Allah, about helping promote righteousness in our communities. We don't advise one another about salah. A sister do not advise a sister or her friend about hijab. We do not advise one another about Quran. So therefore, majalis al-mauta, destroy the heart completely. Your heart becomes very hard. Hence, mosque is a secondary matter. Majlis is a secondary matter. Ma'atam is a secondary matter. Marsiya is a secondary matter. Why? Because those that I associate with, nobody bothers to advise me on the importance of these things. Number four cause. Al-i'tida ala al-mu'minin. Accusing and going against mu'minin unjustly. What does it mean? Is mu'min mu'min? Mu'ali li amir al-mu'minin. He says, mu'ali li amir al-mu'minin. You love amir, you love amir. But how many times we accuse one another? How many times we belittle one another? How many times we undermine one another? This type of actions hardens our hearts. Our hearts does not become soft when we engage into that. And today is not only that. The trend you find in some of the quarters of our communities, people even undermine maraji. People insult maraji. It destroys the heart. We have so many riwayat. I don't want to bombard you with this riwayat. On how to engage a mu'min. Not to insult mu'min. Today people, they said, this marja, he doesn't know anything. Na'uzu billah. This marja is sitting there. I'm sitting here. I know better than him my situation. This what hardens our hearts. We don't see the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And it affects us completely. Last one. Then I give you prescription, we go. Eating unlawfully. Or unlawfully eating. You eat haram. The money you take home, some of it is unlawful. You drink alcohol sometimes. You smoke what is unlawfully. You hide tax. These are all unlawful according to Islam. These are unlawful. Whatever you eat wrongly, it will affect your hearts. And it will destroy you inside. You will not see the light of Allah in this dunya. And you will not meet the shafa of Ali Muhammad on the day of Qiyamah. Haram is a problem. It will affect your zuriya, your family, your generations. So make sure, brothers and sisters, whatever pound or cent that goes into your pocket or in your house, you should be in a position to account for it, not only to people, but in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you cannot account for it, it destroys the heart. Aklul haram. Look at Karbala. On the 10th day of Muharram, many people were astonished and they were shocked as to why these people were going to kill Aba Abdullah. Companions of Aba Abdullah asked our beloved Imam, why can't they take heed to the lesson? Because you remember, Aba Abdullah, he explored different strategies to stop them from killing him. One strategy, Hussein will tell them, oh people, I am the son of Zahra. One strategy will tell them, my uncle is a Hamza. One strategy, Imam Hussein will tell them, my grandmom is a Khadija al-Kubra. One strategy, Hussein will tell them, Quran was revealed in our house. Why didn't take them? If you were there, were you going to listen to Hussein or where are you going to be? Decide. It's easier said than done. Why didn't take the heat? Imam Hussein explained, لِأَنَّ بُتُونَهُمْ مَلِيئَ بِالْحَرَامِ. Because their stomachs and tummies are filled with haram. These people in the camp of Maram Nusa, some of them memorized the whole Quran, don't joke. Some of them memorized the whole Quran from Fatiha to Nas. But Aba Abdullah tried. He even showed them Ali ibn al-Asgar. He said, I am the target. What is the wrong of this infant son? They shot the arrow on the neck, isn't it? Butunuhum mali'a bil haram. The heart, the stomach is filled with haram. So the more you take haram, the more you get far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what happened and culminated in Karbala. Now, how do we cure this problem? How do we cure it? These are the causes. And I'm sure all of us want to cure ourselves. We want, when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, start reciting Fatiha, we enjoy. We want, if Marcia begins here, we enjoy. We want, if Ma'atam or Noha is being recited, we enjoy. We want, if Majlis is being recited, we enjoy. When Azan is being recited, we enjoy. What are the cures? Because I and you, have, myself, I can. We all have the problems. What is the first cure? Muhasabatun nafs. I mentioned last night. Muhasabatun nafs. Self-judgment. Always judge yourself. Every night before you sleep, spend 5 minutes or only 10 minutes. Ask yourself, what wrong have I done today? And what did it go right today with me? If you find that there was a wrong between you and somebody, call the person or send the SMS, ask for forgiveness. If it is between you and Allah, make wudu, sit on your musalla, plead with Allah to forgive you before you sleep. Self-judgment is so important. That is number one. Number two, which is very, very important, listening. You must listen. People don't listen. We've been having majalis 20 years, 30 years, but still. Quran, in many places, highlights on the importance of the sense of hearing. Quran says sense of hearing is so important. Listen. And when you listen, go and discuss with your wife and your sons how to implement one of those things.
But if you don't listen properly, then it becomes a problem. And scholars said the first sense to work in insan and the last sense to work in insan is the sense of hearing. Hence, when a mother is expecting, she's told to listen to the verses of Quran. Why? Because it impacts positively on the child. Hence, when we die, when we are buried, what is being recited? Talqin, because it's the last sense which happens. Talqin is recited because the person hears. First sense to work in a child, and the last sense to work in him again. And why is it so important? Imam Jafar said, your hearings are doors to your hearts. If you listen carefully, properly, it opens the hearts. Hence, kuffar, when they didn't want to listen to Rasulullah, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَلَّقَوْ فِيهِ. Those who were disbelievers, they said, don't listen to this Quran. Just ignore the Quran. And one ayah said, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُمْ لِتَكْفَلُوا جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. They blocked the hearing completely. Nuh tried. How many years Nuh alayhi salam tried? They blocked. To such an extent, they will take clothes and they will cover their faces. So you're hearing, everybody listen carefully. When somebody talks to you, whether in the majlis or out there, listen carefully. Go sit, digest it, analyze it. Take what you can and leave what you cannot. As Quran made it, talk about the jinns. أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِ. When those groups of jinn listened to the verse of Quran, they said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا حَجَبًا. They listened, the jinns listened, and they became believers in Rasulullah. If Banu Umayyah were listening and Banu Abbas, they were not going to attack Ahlul Bayt. The third prescription is khalwa. Khalwa means what? It's different from self-judgment. You need to have time in your busy schedule for yourself alone and reflect. Once in a week, sit in your corner in the house, go maybe somewhere in the kitchen, sit alone and reflect. Get to know your weak point. You know, I've got emotions with me and I react quickly. Salat, I'm not doing well. Just reflect. You need moment alone, not with your wife, not with your son, alone. Sit on the university campus, go on a grass, sit there alone. Reflect. This reflection with you alone, it helps you grow and heal. But if you don't do this, then it affects us a lot. And the last one, of course, is willpower. You need a very strong willpower for you to be able to change. And you know there are factors that destroys willpower, and there are factors that strengthen willpower. The first thing which destroys willpower is when one gives up in life. Giving up destroys willpower. Number two, suratul infial, reactionary. You react to everything. Small thing somebody does, you get angry, piss off. It destroys willpower. Number three, places you go and come destroys willpower. If it's a place where you get constant reminder about Allah, fine. If not, it becomes a problem. But what strengthens our willpower? Insisting on one thing until you achieve it. I want to become someone very strong. I insist. And inshallah, if you insist, Allah will help you. And secondly, which is the last, ajwa ar-ruhiyya. You always need divine atmosphere and divine environment. And the best divine environment I and you have is this mosque in our center. That is where you go and you get to know about Allah, or maybe your house also. Because Imam Jafar said, a house where Quran is being recited, angels frequent that house always. And a house where Marsiya and Noah's are being recited, you'll have the inayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. So therefore, let's all try, brothers and sisters. Life is too short. Our days are numbered in this world. We don't know when it will come to an end. Let's fully prepare ourselves and wait for the reappearance of our awaited Savior, and try to work very hard that always and every day our book of A'mal is shown to the Imam of our time. Make sure you are one of those people, when your book is shown to the Imam, smile. Don't become someone, when your book is shown to the Imam cries. Because narration says the most pain that Imam goes through every day and night is when at the end of the day and night he sees the a'mal of those who claim to love him. This is the Imam who taught us not to forget the Masa'ib of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, where in Ziyaratun Nahiya, Imam alayhi salam mentioned, La'andubannaka sabahan wa masa'a, wa la'abqiyanna alayka badal ad-dumu'i dama. Imam said, oh my Mawla Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, I will cry for you day and night, and I will mourn for you blood instead of tears. Tonight, I want us to remember the infant son of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. You know, scholars told us, Arbabul Makatil, that there is a similarity between Aba Abdullah and Ismail alayhi salam. Allama Iqbal explained the taqareer very beautifully. You know what Allama Iqbal said? He said, indeed, Ismail helped his father to build the Kaaba, but Hussein alayhi salam, with his movement, helped to restore the dignity of Kaaba. Allama Iqbal said, if Ismail was willing to be sacrificed for the sake of Allah, Aba Abdullah not only willing to sacrifice, but he sacrificed himself and his children. Narration says, when Ibrahim saw in his dream slaughtering the son, Ibrahim the next moment he called his son Ismail. He said, oh my beloved son, inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. I've seen in my dream I am slaughtering you, oh Ismail. Ismail said, ya abati if'al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, go ahead to implement the teaching of Allah. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. I will be patient. You will find me patient, oh my father Ibrahim. Narration says, when Ibrahim sent Ismail to that place, he came and met Ismail. When he was about to implement the teachings of Allah, Ismail requested few things from his beloved father. The first thing Ismail said, oh my father, I want you, before you slaughter me, to cover my face. He said, Baba, Ismail, why covering your face? He said, because father, if you see my face, you will sympathize with me and you will not be able to implement the teachings of Allah. Ismail said, oh my father, that is the second request. I want you to tie my hands and my feet. Said Ismail, why? He said, because if you see me moving, oh my father, my hand that side, my leg that side, you will not be able to implement the teachings of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Ajrukum ala Allah. Ismail's dead request was this, the most painful one. He said, oh my father, I want, when you are done with slaughtering me, take my clothes back to my mom. Because it kills my mom to know that I'm dead. Now let's go to Karbala. We said, oh Aba Abdullah, on the 10th day of Muharram, when you took Ali ibn al-Asghar to the battlefield, when you were holding Ali ibn al-Akbar on your chest, we said, Aba Abdullah, you had no blindfolder. Ismail requested the father to cover his face. Aba Abdullah, you had nothing to cover your face. How did you be able to see the arrow of Harmala on the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar? You know, the best person to give the takrir of Ali ibn al-Asghar is Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. Mukhtar, years after Karbala, got hold of Harmala. He asked Harmala, what did you do on the 10th day of Muharram? Harmala said, I had 7 targets on the 10th day of Muharram. 3 of those targets were not successful. I was successful in 4 targets. Mukhtar asked Harmala, outline those targets for me. He said, the first target was the target. I saw Hussein struggling on the ground. Hussein was falling and rising. Then I saw the son of Imam Hassan Abdullah Jibril rushing to the body of Hussein to cover the father. So I struck my arrow on Abdullah. Mukhtar asked him, what is the second arrow, the target that you were successful? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He said, my second target was this. I saw Abbas struggling to hold the flag. I saw blood coming left, right, and off Abbas. As Abbas was struggling, Armala said, I struck my arrow on the eye of Abbas. Then Mukhtar asked him, what is the third arrow? He said, the third arrow, I smear it with poisonous substance. When Hussein was struggling on the ground, I struck the arrow on Hussein. Let me leave you with the fourth one. Armala said, the fourth one hurt me so much. Mukhtar asked him, what did you do? He said, I use a weapon which is used to cut camel's neck. He said, Arabs normally use that when they want to cut a camel. Then Mukhtar asked him, what did you do? He said, I saw Hussein, he took the child. And he came and placed the child in the middle of the battlefield. And I saw Hussein walked back a little bit. He came and picked up the child. And he looked at our camp pleading for water. But the last time I saw Hussein holding the son, raising him up, asking for water, Harmala said, I struck the arrow and I saw the arrow right to the neck of the child. We said, Abba Abdullah, how difficult was it to meet Rababa with the arrow on the neck of the child? Harmala said, I saw Hussein going up and down 7 times. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. مأتم الحسين. يا حسين يا حسين
يا حسين
يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين
اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں
اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں ماتمی شبیر کے ماتمی شبیر کے زینب کے پر سادار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر
ہم تیرے حبدار ہم گناہگار ہے مولا اور خطا کار ہے مولا ہم گناہگار ہے مولا اور خطا کار ہے مولا پر حسین ابن علی کے سچے ماتم دار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار 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 ذکر تیرا نہ رکے گا علم غازی نہ جھکے گا ذکر تیرا نہ رکے گا علم غازی نہ جھکے گا موت گھر ہم کو جو آئے پھر بھی ہم تیار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہیں اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار مولا یہ ذکر حسینی دور کرتا ہے بے چینی مولا یہ ذکر حسینی دور کرتا ہے بے چینی تیری پرساداریوں سے بڑھ گئے بازار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار 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 آئی زہرا کی دلہاری تھی قریبی بازاری آئی زہرا کی دلہاری تھی قریبی بازاری ہاتھوں میں پہنے رسل سب قیدی پردادار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار 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 رسیاں پہنی ہوئی ہے بیبیاں سہمی ہوئی ہے رسیاں پہنی ہوئی ہے بیبیاں سہمی ہوئی ہے بچے اونٹوں سے گرے اور کس قدر لاچار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار 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 آج اختر نے یہ نوحہ غمزدہ دل سے ہے لکھا آج اختر نے یہ نوحہ غمزدہ دل سے ہے لکھا نوحہ لکھنے پڑھنے والے خلد کے حقدار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہے اللہ جل امام آخر ہم تیرے حبدار ہے اللہ جل امام یاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سر
سے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے 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 اٹھائے ہوں گے لوگ بازار میں لوگ بازار میں زینب کو جو لائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے
یاد عباس کی زینب کو ستاتی ہوگی یاد عباس کی زینب کو ستاتی ہوگی لوگ خیام کو لوگ خیام کو جب لوٹنے آئے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے یاد عباس کی زینب کو ستاتی ہوگی یاد عباس کی زینب کو ستاتی ہوگی لوگ خیام کو لوگ خیام کو جب لوٹنے آئے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے بیر بھی آمتی اور سر پیر دائے بھی نہ تھی بیر بھی آمتی اور سر پیر دائے بھی نہ تھی کیسے ناموس نے کیسے ناموس نے پھر چہرے چھپائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے جب نبی زادی دربار میں سر نہ کے گئی جب نبی زادی دربار میں سر نہ کے گئی خون بیمار کی خون بیمار کی آنکھوں نے بہائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے اٹھائے ہوں گے ہائے سجاد نے غم کیسے علامہ 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 علامہ
تطہیر کی پلی تھی بازار کا سما علامہ 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 یہ سوچ کے سجاد کا دل خون رو پڑا یہ سوچ کے سجاد کا دل خون رو پڑا تفسیر بیردا تھی تفسیر بیردا تھی نیزے پہ تھا قرا علامہ 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 کیسے اٹھائے لاش کو مظلوم چل دیے دیے شبیر کی ضعیفی شبیر کی ضعیفی اکبر سا نوجوان علامہ 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 کیوں بار بار لیتے ہو تم نام بلویام میں کیوں بار بار لیتے ہو تم نام بلویام میں مر جائے گی بازار میں مر جائے گی بازار
تھا وہ عابد بیمار تھا چلنے سے جو لاچار تھا چلنے سے جو لاچار تھا اور شام کا بازار تھا اور شام کا بازار تھا اور مصطفیٰ کی بیٹیاں ہے ہے زینب ہے ہے شام 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 شبیر کی وہ لاڈلی شبیر کی وہ لاڈلی سینے پہ جو شاخ پلی سینے پہ جو شاخ پلی جس کی ابابر
بن میں جلی جس کی ابا بن میں جلی منہ پر تماچو کے نشاں ہائے ہائے زینب ہائے ہائے شام ہائے ہائے زینب ہائے ہائے شام ہائے ہائے زینب
اللہم صلوا علی محمد و آل محمد بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم السلام علیکم یا رسول اللہ السلام علیکم یا نبی اللہ السلام علیکم یا امیر المؤمنین یا علی ابن ابی طالب السلام علیکم یا فاطمۃ الزہرا سیدتی نساء العالمین السلام علیکم یا حسن المجتبى السلام علیکم یا ابا عبد اللہ وعلی تسعۃ المعصومین من ذریتک علی ابن الحسین ومحمد ابن علی وجعفر ابن محمد وموسی ابن جعفر وعلی ابن موسى ومحمد ابن علي وعلي ابن محمد والحسن ابن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه
باتي في حادثاتي في كل ساعة لي عرفة ونادى ناصرة وليا وعينا حتى تسكنه وزكاته ومعنى في هذا ويلة